Hey, thanks for joining us at Praise Chapel. This special podcast features our Father's Day service where our pastors were interviewed about fatherhood. All had different upbringings and experiences as a son and father, plus a special Father's Day message from Pastor Omar.
All right, as they come down here. Okay, so we got just about a half hour or so here, and I was going to go in and just begin with some rapid-fire questions. I think we all know everybody here, but for those of you who are visiting, this is Pastor Omar Lopez. He's our senior pastor. Pastor Rudy Lugo, one of our assistant pastors. Pastor Mike Hernandez, the young adult, youth and young adult pastor. And then Pastor David Tejerina, also an assistant pastor, who also was... And oh no, once a Marine, always a Marine, right? You are a Marine. So he's a Marine. I said was, and he just kind of looked at me and I was like, sorry, sir.
I was in the Air Force.
Pardon? Oh, you were in the Air Force.
Boy Scouts.
Hey, you know what? Whatever you guys do between yourselves, I'm not gonna get in on that. Okay.
I'm God's Army.
Yeah, there you go. Ephesians 6. I think that outranks them all, guys. Okay, so basically what we're going to do here is we're just going to glean some wisdom and some truth. They're all in different phases of fatherhood and grandfatherhood, as we're going to find out in just a moment. But before we get into the real meat of it, I just want to kind of warm it up here and we'll do some rapid-fire questions. And then we're just going to start with Pastor David. We'll work our way down that way, and we'll just keep looping back. The Marine is always ready. So, oh, goodness. All right, here we go. All right, here we go. What's the greatest football team and why?
Dallas Cowboys. I was born in Texas, followed them all my life.
So they're the greatest because you were born in Texas.
That's exactly
love
right.
It. All right,
what else? Texas.
There you go. Pastor Mike.
I am an amateur football fan, so I would have to say the Steelers because I'm wearing the jersey. So
there you go. Pastor Rudy.
Oakland Raiders. Just because.
Careful, there might be some gunfire if you disagree here. Pastor Omar.
Well, six-time Super Bowl champion, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right. Pastor David, if you could pick a year to relive with your kids, which year would it be and why?
Oh,
wow.
That's a tough one. Probably, oh, jeez. I don't know.
I feel the emotion already coming.
What year would I relive again? Maybe with little David the years before I got saved. I was just... You know, young father, didn't know much, and so I'd like to go back and just redo that over again and do better.
Mm. Pastor Mike.
Well, considering my son's two,
one last year or this year?
I don't know, man. Maybe before they were, I'm just kidding. I'm enjoying them right now, so I don't have an answer.
That's
for that
a one. Dodge. I need an answer to that question. The first year or the second year?
Probably just a few months ago when Rylan was a newborn. That was great.
Rylan is my beautiful niece.
Yeah, she's perfect. There's
nothing
wrong with her.
There's nothing wrong with her, and there never will be. Pastor Rudy?
I would say if I'm going to choose a year, I would say 1991, because that was the year my first daughter was born. And like Pastor David, I mean, I didn't know anything. And I made a lot of mistakes, and I'd like to redo that.
Pastor Omar.
I would have to say that when they were all around 2 or 3 years old, that was like the best time that I could remember with my kids and my boys. And I wish I could redo that over again somehow. But I'm getting a second chance with my granddaughter coming. So.
What piece of wisdom would you give to yourself if you could go back and counsel yourself just before you became a dad?
Live with the decision I made to serve Jesus at 15 and not turn away. Probably would have made a big difference.
Be patient with my kids and my wife.
Yeah, that's a big one. I would think I would tell myself just to be patient. And not try to do things on my own, but seek heavenly advice.
I would say value those moments that, those happy times where you're playing basketball, having a great time, you know, wrestling in the living room. I value those times. Those are the best times.
Of all the personality traits that your kids have received from you, of which are you most proud?
They're all great with people. They have a great personality, all of them, so they're able to communicate with anyone. So I like that about my kids.
Well, judging now, he's getting his two. But you can see his tenacity. He wants things, and when he wants it, he gets it. So, I mean, sometimes, especially when he's at the grandparents' house, he always gets it. But I love that trait in him. He's going to get it.
I would say their competitiveness, because they're go-getters. And when they see something they want, they go get it. Even though it's good and bad sometimes, they got that competitive edge.
I would have to say giving honor and respect to everyone and showing that, to especially the elders.
Okay, so that's good. They did good on the rapid-fire questions, guys. I think that for not knowing any of the questions, I would even say so, man. That was good. But, you know, each and every one of you are in a different phase of fatherhood. And basically what I want to get into here today is glean some advice, some wisdom, and then even some people here listening, you know, they've gone through their struggles. They've had their issues with maybe their father. Maybe they've had positive, negative. There are all sorts of relationships represented here today. But I want you just to kind of briefly talk to me about just what your relationship was like with your father.
I briefly met my dad when I was 5, and then I didn't see him again until I was like maybe 12 years old. I was supposed to see him at 11. I think one of the most memorable things that I have of Hertz was he had called me and said he was going to come visit me. As I was 11 years old, you know, I didn't have a dad. Every Father's Day or at school, everyone always had their father. I'd never had one. And so at 11, he called. He said, "You're going to come." And so I'm waiting outside all day, just sun up to sundown, and he never showed up. And so it wasn't until the following year that I actually got to see him. And so I got excited for the first time. You know, I got a dad. But we didn't really get close until I was like maybe 16 when I started going to visit him. He lived in Ohio. We lived in Michigan. And so we started building a small relationship through there. But we were never really close until after that time when I started really pressing through. At 16, 17, I would go spend the night or the weekends over there in the summertime. But I was never really close to my dad. I was always mainly with my mom. So there's nothing really a connection there.
So what was your relationship like with dad?
I think you know my dad, right?
I have an idea who he is.
I think you know.
We both have his hair.
Me and my dad are a lot alike. We're very, our personalities, and I remember growing up, we would clash a lot. There'd be a lot of just me questioning a lot of things that he would tell me to do. Even when I was a kid, it was funny, right? Like, why can't I go outside and stuff like that? But as I grew up, I remember we had a conversation one time.
There's your spiritual father telling you.
There he goes. I still question things. Always question. It's not bad. But I remember we were in the car one time, and I was sitting with, and I don't know what, you know, you just have these thoughts. You think they're good ideas, and they're really not. And I was sitting in the car with him. I'm like, "Dad, you know what?" I said, "I don't want to go to church anymore." And he looks at me like just shocked. And I go, "You know, yeah." I said, "I'll be a Christian, but I just don't want to go to church." And I just remember telling him, he's like, he was upset, but I think I shocked him. I caught him off guard. He goes, "You can't make that decision right now." He goes, "You're going to church. That's not changing." And I remember at the time being very upset and like, "What do you mean?" Like, I think I was 16. That's probably the worst age, I think. So I was 16, and I remember thinking, "Man, what is this guy talking about?" But what he was teaching me was discipline and to always push and pursue righteousness no matter how I felt. And I think growing up, that's how I remember my father teaching me how to love God above all else and to love people and to do anything you can to pursue that love. And I remember that moment. It was just him pushing me, "No, you got to keep going."
So, Pastor Rudy, give me an instance that kind of is indicative of what your relationship was like with your dad.
Well, my biological father didn't raise me. I didn't meet him until I was about 9 years old. And I had a stepfather. I wish I didn't have a stepfather, but I did. And he was very abusive. And some of you in Bible study, I shared this a couple weeks ago, but I never like to talk about it because it bring up old feelings. And he raised me since I was, I think, 3 till about 13. But he was very abusive. He used to hit my mom a lot, and I used to get in the middle of it, and he would hit me. And anything that he could find next to him, he would use it, you know, to hit me with. And I remember one time he was fighting with my mom, and I got in between him, and I told him, why don't you hit me and not my mom? And he hit me. But I'd rather that he hit me than my mom. And that really shaped me, you know, growing up, because I don't like seeing men being aggressive with women. And when I met my dad, my biological dad, I was happy. I had a dad. I had a real dad. And he didn't want me. And when I met him, my stepdad, I asked him, why does he hate me so much? And he said, because my stepdad hated him. So that's why he hated me. So I was excited for my dad to say, love, you know, he loved me. And he said, well, when I make it in this life, I'll come looking for you. So give me time. So I grew up kind of hard and stubborn, and I wanted to do everything myself. And it drove me to accomplish whatever I did, because nobody was going to help me. So that I grew up that way, and I made a lot of bad decisions because knowing that I didn't have a father, I didn't need a father. And I felt like I could, you know, get married real young, I could have kids real young, all these different things. I did it because nobody else was going to do it for me. And so that was the reason why when I first went to church, when my mother had passed away, when I went and they said that God loved you no matter what, and he's your father. He's the father that you need, and seek him. And I remember asking the question. I said, how could he love me when I've been so unlovable? And when my sister asked me if I was coming back, I didn't want to at first, because everything, it sounded like they were talking about me and how bad I was. But that stuck with me, that the God in heaven loved me no matter what.
So Pastor Omar, help us
understand your relationship with your dad.
Well, my relationship with dad was kind of unique, you know, because we're 7 brothers, so I'm number 6. And
just
so,
missed it.
Yeah, number 6. So, you know, by that time, you know, my dad really worked a lot, and providing for the family, you know, providing for 7 boys and all of that. So, but one of the things that I do remember, my relationship was more of honor and respect, you know. It was, you just always, I was always this kind of a fear of him, not in a bad way, but in a respectful way. And whenever he spoke, I listened, you know. And he always taught us this work ethic and how to be responsible, how to work for a living, how to provide, and you know, always strive for the best. And so it was that kind of relationship with him. And, you know, the moments that we could get together, they were good. And like I said, my dad was... he wasn't a Christian, but he wasn't perfect, but he did the best with what he had, and I definitely appreciated that of him.
So you guys can kind of see there are different relationships represented up here. We have Pastor David, Pastor Rudy, who obviously had very rough relationships with their fathers. My brother and Pastor Omar, who had solid relationships with their fathers. And this is where I want to open it up to more of a conversation, guys. These things, they carry down, don't they? And they affect you now. So talk to us today about maybe some of those ways those things have impacted you and the way that the Lord has helped you to become good fathers. I'm surprised we didn't do that song today. The Good, Good Father. Every church across America is doing that today. Thank you, Omar, for not doing that one.
You know, just briefly, I think one of the things that when I found out that Linda was pregnant, I made a decision that I never wanted my kids to grow up without a father. So I was 17, but right there I made the decision. I remember I joined the Marine Corps because I was going to help us out financially. But I remember being at a young age making that decision. I don't want to go through my kids to go through everything that I had gone through. All those days without a father, all those days in school without a father, no one to throw them, teach them how to play baseball or football and stuff. So I think that's helped me through all these years. Linda and I talked about this. We made a decision. We're going to serve God no matter what happens. We're not going to divorce. We're not going to leave each other. We're going to serve God and be the best example so that our kids can make it to heaven. And so it's been, David's 31 years. He's pastoring today because of, I believe, did that decision that we made so long ago.
By the way, grandfather, technically relatively new father. Grandfather?
No.
Oh, no, not yet. We're working on that. No, I'm just kidding. No, no, he's got what I was what Pastor Rudy's situation is. How would we say? How did we word it in the back room? It wasn't blended. What we use?
Well, it's blended for my wife because I had. I'm sorry. It's blended
for my wife because I had kids, four kids, marrying her, and so they're my children. So.
So it's a blended family.
It's a blended family.
And then, so you had kids from another marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And then
they're older.
Older children. And then Pastor Omar is soon to be grandfather. So they're all, little Bella. So they're all in different phases. So as they talk, just keep that in mind that maybe you can find something that reflects upon you and that helps you in where you are in life. You were going to say something.
Yeah, so growing up with a dad who pursued the call of God, when we had our babies or when we first had Liam, it was we were very sure that we're going to teach him to serve God. We're going to do whatever. And we make a lot of mistakes. I know I make a lot of mistakes as a father, even now. And it's only been 2 years, but I've racked them up. I have a list of them. I think just teaching him how to love God is something that I'm passionate about. I really want to show him that if you sacrifice for God, He blesses your family. He blesses your life. He blesses your future. And I saw that because that's what our parents did. That's what my parents did. They sacrificed for God and they sacrificed for people. And me and my wife have talked about it. We're going to do the same thing because we know that there's blessing in that for my family. Every time we talk about the risk and the challenge of God, I always pray, say, Lord, we'll do whatever you want because I know you'll take care of my kids. I know that if we take a risk for you, our kids are going to grow up knowing you, and they won't be bitter because it's for God. And so I think that's something that we really try to push in our kids, or we're going to as they grow, is just to love God and do what He wants.
I'll tell you this. Growing up, if you would have asked me, I say my BC days, before Christ days, I didn't need a father. I would have said that to you. I don't need a father. I can do it on my own. But I made a lot of mistakes, and a lot of mistakes that I made that I instilled in my kids was to be hard in their heart, and they didn't see any unforgiveness in me, and I carried that through and I made a lot of bad mistakes, and I did say I'm never gonna let my kids be fatherless. Even though I got divorced, I still wanted to be a part of their lives, and I did everything I could to be with them, but that wasn't good enough, and so I continued to make mistakes, and I didn't value marriage until I got married, until I got saved. I was divorced. I got saved in July. 2006, and it was a radical change because everything became real to me, and I felt horrible the way I lived my life, and I said, God, I need your help. And when I did that, I got saved, and I saw things getting better. I felt better internally. I was getting rid of a lot of hate, a lot of anger, and just things that I didn't appreciate. And I know when I came to Praise Chapel, I told Pastor Omar, he was preaching a lesson on a sermon on unforgiveness. And I told him, Pastor Omar, I feel great. You know, I love this church. I love everybody here. I just feel like, you know, God's really moving in my life. But there's one person that I can't forgive. And I told him it was my biological father. And he said, well, you need to forgive him. And I said, I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can forgive him. You know, he's never been there for me. He never, you know, just he never supported me. And he said, you need to forgive him. And he prayed for me. And I remember just crying. And I went home that night. And I called him, and I told him I forgive him. And he was very cold and said, for what? And I told him, and he's like, well, if you want me to say I'm sorry, I'm sorry. But you know, he didn't realize. I guess he didn't care at the time. But it lifted the burden from me, and I felt better. And I said, even though it hurt that time when I told him, I released a lot. And it helped me to forgive him. And it grows more and more that forgiveness for more, you know, for everybody in my life, and I don't want to hold anything against anybody. And so one last thing that I'll say about that is that a lot of you know my dad now because he's been coming here. He comes off now. He lives in Fontana, but he drives here to be here. And when he comes, he keeps asking me for forgiveness over and over. And I said, I forgave you a long time ago. But the beauty of it, you're seeing him grow in Christ as I'm seeing him, and you're getting to know him as I get to know him. But it's a blessing, and I know that comes from my Father in heaven, and just putting that in me to forgive him and to break that ice, that barrier, to, you know, just to love him more as Christ loves us.
Well, I kind of even forgot the question, so I'm just going to throw this in. But there's a few things that I did learn from my dad that I looked at and I said, I want to put that in my family. There's a number of things that I felt that were missing that I felt like this is what I want to impart into my family. One of the things that my dad did teach me is gratefulness. He came from Mexico, and he knew what hard life was like, and he always told us how tough things were, and not in a guilty way, but just to tell us, taught us how to value what we have. The other thing he taught us how to help other people. One of the things that my dad always did is it was crazy what my dad would do, but there would be people that would walk by the house and said, hey, I don't have no food. I just came from here. I don't have any. He would actually take them into the house. And I remember, every couple months there was a new guy sitting at the table eating, and I'm thinking, who is this guy, And, this guy came from here, and usually there were people that, came from Mexico, didn't have anything, no place to stay, and he would take them in and help them, get them jobs. I remember all of that. And again, teaching us the work ethic. So those things I really valued. One of the things that I don't blame him, but he didn't really do a lot of the affection, And one of the things I wanted to make sure with my boys is I'm going to tell them I love you. I'm going to hug them. I'm going to kiss them. I don't care how old they are. And I'm going to tell them I care about them. And obviously, the things of God, that's one thing that my dad did not have. He wasn't a Christian. So when I became a Christian, I said, I'm definitely, my main role is that they know God, that they know Jesus, that they serve him. And that was my prayer. And I said, if I could just impart that, no matter what they become, if they have Jesus, they're a success.
Amen. Right. You know what, just to add to that, Pastor, one of the things as our kids are growing up, they grew up in church, basically. Yeah. David and Kayla especially, well, Nicholas too, but David and Kayla, because they're 10 years apart from Kayla and Nicholas. But we were always in church. So this became their second home.
Yeah.
So they knew that it wasn't only Sundays or only Wednesdays, but we were there for outreaches. We were there for prayer. So they were constantly involved in the church, constantly involved in whatever was going on, that it became their second nature. And I think that really helped them serve Jesus as they got older. It wasn't like, we were only Sunday Christians, but we were everyday Christians. And you go to my house, it's loud. Our house is very loud, especially when the Cowboys.
Your house? No.
Where'd they get that from?
I don't know where they get that from, but it's just our house is pretty loud. But they saw us that we're loud in church too. And so it wasn't just, we're pretending to be somebody at church and then be somebody different at home. This is who their parents are. We this is who we were. And I think that helped them through the years, is in their relationship with Jesus. Says, I could just be myself. I don't have to fake it on Sundays and then be somebody else on Monday.
Yeah, I think to add to that, I was that kid, right, where my family was involved in all this stuff. And I know I grew up with a lot of kids who were like that, where their families were doing all that stuff and outreaches and church and all this. And they're no longer serving God today. And people ask my dad, or they'll ask us, like, what was the difference? How come you guys are still doing it? And I think it is because in our home there was a genuine, our dad was real. He was who he was in the church, same person he was outside of the church. Same with our mom. She was who she was in the church, same person outside of the church. And I think when you're raising kids in the church, it's important not to just, don't teach them that church is salvation. Don't teach them that ministry is salvation. Jesus comes first, and then ministry follows that. I remember having a conversation with my dad, and I was upset about the church. I don't know why I was always...
Again?
Yeah, I don't know.
You in the church, Mike.
I know. Yeah, we still have these talks. I'm like, Dad, I can't do it. I'm just kidding. But
good fun.
Yeah, so I remember having this conversation, and I was just telling him, I feel like you don't have time for us, and I feel like... And I was just being a punk. It wasn't true. Like, I was just trying to get him to, I don't know what I was trying to do. And he told me, he's like, look, he goes, if you want me to stop being a pastor because you feel that I'm neglecting you, he said, I'll stop. Because he said, because my ministry first is my home. And I was like, no, don't do that. I'm exaggerating just a little bit here. Don't do that. But it was him teaching us that it wasn't just church. If it's just about church, you're going to burn your kids out. If it's just about church, you're going to make them resent the church and resent you for doing it. It has to be about Jesus. It has to be about God. And it's the same thing in our home. I love that. I have my father. I have Pastor Omar here to help me raise my kids. But I have the Holy Spirit who teaches me. And he'll tell me, you're being too hard on your son. He'll tell me, you need to, my son's two. Now, it's very humbling to sit and apologize to a two-year-old. Like, son, I'm sorry, right? But he'll tell me, you need to go apologize to your son. And it's raising your home as with the Holy Spirit and with Jesus as a priority, not just church. So I think that's very helpful, and that helped me.
You brought up an interesting point just now. Two interesting things that I'm hearing here. One, taking your kids to church all the time is not going to kill them. People seem to think so. And two, you talked about how you apologize to your son. And I remember Dad doing that often. Talk to either one of those points, gentlemen.
Well, I'll just real quick. That's what we learned. My dad always apologized to me for even if it really he didn't do anything too wrong or too bad. He would always sit me down. And even when I deserved the spanking or deserved the ground or whatever it was, he would sit me down and say, son, you know why I did this? But I'm sorry for the way that I handled it. Or he would say, I'm not sorry for what I said, but I'm sorry for the way that I said it. And he would always apologize to me. And in my home, I'm apologizing to everybody because that's kind of what I learned to do. Even when it's not my fault, I'm sorry, everybody. You know, an apology in the home goes a long way, especially with kids.
I'd like to add to that. So my wife and I, we have two boys, and they're 5 and 3. And my three-year-old, Levi, he's a little handful at times. And so we find ourselves constantly telling him no or, you know, give him a little spanking. We're constantly on him, and it always seems to be negative. And I was having lunch last week on Thursday or Friday, and I was having lunch, and I saw a father disciplining his 3 or 4-year-old son. And when the father walked to get the food, the son was just sitting there with the saddest face. And instead of going back to work, I drove home. And I said, we need to be nicer to Levi. We need to say some encouraging things to him. And I picked him up, and I sat him on my lap, and he's like, Daddy, he's all happy to see me. I said, do you know that I love you? He goes, yeah. And I just started talking to him. And so now I was telling my wife, I was like, we have to show, I mean, we do tell him we love him, but we're constantly disciplining him too. And I think there needs to be a balance with that. And you do, and I did spank him, you know, and not that time, but when I spanked him.
I love you, son.
he had a sad face on him. And I had talked to him, and if I speak to him loudly sometimes, I say I'm sorry. And he just looks at me like he's so happy that I'm saying I'm sorry. And one thing on that video, if you saw the kids, I forgot the question they asked, but they were asking about fathers, what you like about them or what you want from them. And my son Zeke was up there, and he said that he loves me. And that's what I want my kids to know, that I love them and that it's not just about us. But they get so excited to come to church. They've been raised in church. They get so excited. It's a big question mark if it's even a thought, or we have something else we're going to do if we're considering going somewhere. Well, what about church? What about church? Even though they just know this is their lives. This is what they do in life. It's not an option. It's part of our lives.
You know, I think it's very unique too that you know, we live in a society where fathers have this macho image. And, you know, they're prideful, and they're never to say they're sorry or apologize. And I just think it's wrong. I don't think that's biblical. And I like what you guys are saying, because you have to apologize. You got to let them know, hey, I made a mistake. Sorry about this. And I think your kids will respect that more than when you walk away, you know you're wrong, you're prideful, you don't want to even admit it. They don't respect that at all. I think they look down at that. So I think dads have to realize that it's more macho to say you're sorry and apologize than it is to walk away with pride. And even though you did wrong, you said something wrong. And really, we can disrespect our kids, too, if we're not careful. Put them down in front of their friends, all these different things. We have to be very careful what we do and how we say it.
So I think this is all, are you guys enjoying this so far? This is all really, I think there's really good wisdom coming forward here. But I want to take our last few minutes here. And I had this, save this question for last, because I think it's probably the most important. And that is, how has the Lord helped you being a father?
Does it have to start with me?
It can start with whoever wants to go in.
Well, yeah, I'll start off, and I'll try to be brief. The biggest thing was forgiveness and loving my family, loving my children, you know, as he loves me. And that helped me. And that helped me a lot because there's a lot of fathers in here that maybe have a similar background to me and didn't feel that love of a father or being raised by a father. And what I would say to you is that all those things that happened in your life that you say molded you now, and that's why you're hard, that's why you're stubborn, that's why you're angry, God will use all that stuff to make you a man of God today to glorify him. But you have to allow him. Allow him, allow forgiveness into your heart. Allow the love from our Father to come out of you so people would see that. You'd be Christ-like to your children and love them the way God loves us and instill that into them. And let them know, God is our Father. Jesus is our Father. And you're never alone. He always loves you. I know my wife, when we talk to our kids, it's, who's in your heart? Jesus, but you're never alone. Don't be afraid of the dark because Jesus is with you. You're never alone. Don't be afraid of things because you know you have the Lord with you. So I would encourage you, don't let your past determine who you are now, but allow Christ to mold you and transform you.
Okay. Well, obviously the Word of God teaches us so much as far as how to raise our children, talks about family, and even Paul the Apostle talks about those things. But I think one of the things that the Word of God really teaches us is love. And I think it's really hard for men to show love. But the Word of God teaches us that we need to do that. And our Heavenly Father loves us. So I think that was one of the biggest things that when I got saved and when we begin to have children that really taught me, you really need to love your kid. They need to know that you love them, you care about them, you want the best for them. Even when you have to discipline them and bring direction to them. Also, the Word of God, you get wisdom from God's word on what to say, how to say it. I think it's so critical for anyone. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. And if you say it in love, and you can still be stern, you can still be firm. You don't have to cuss them out, but you can give them a firm word. But it's backed up by love. I think that's definitely the Word of God.
I think two things that I'm learning is to let it go. And to be yourself. And I think being a Christian, that's where I've learned it, is God has called us just as we are, and he loved us just as we are, no matter how bad that was. And I think with my family, I want our home to be a home where everybody's just themselves. My kids are themselves. They don't have to be something. They don't have to be this pastor's kid who's perfect or a rebellious kid. They can just be themselves. Same thing. And to let it go. God just completely let go of all of our sin as we came to him. And I remember growing up in a home where you'd learn to just let things go and not let fights linger. And I think the best parenting is how you treat your wife. I think the best example of a father is how you treat your wife. And I'm still learning that. Like, we still argue, right? We still get into these discussions. And I have to learn how to just let it go. And when we're done fighting, when we apologize, even with my kids, when he does something that just is like, Liam, what are you thinking, son? Why? I have to learn just to let it go. And I think that growing or doing that in my home with the help of the Lord and help of the Holy Spirit, he's given me the strength to be myself and to let it go.
Yeah, I think that's true. Be yourself. And I think God has helped me just channel my anger and taught me perseverance. My wife put up with a lot through our marriage, a lot. And our kids have seen all the struggles that we've gone through, but they've also seen us not quit and not give up and not blame God for anything that's happened in our lives. And so they always constantly reference that to Linda and I. It's because you guys have stuck through all that you've gone through. You've never given up on Christ. They say that's our anchor, that's our foundation. We can look at no matter what we go through, we'll never turn away because if you guys can make it through, so can we. Amen. So I think that's what we've been parted into them. You know what? No matter what, you never turn away from God.
Did you guys enjoy this? Let's give them a hand. Thank you, guys.
I did read a little bit about that movie and how that young boy is being influenced by the whole neighborhood and a couple of mobsters that are there, and he's trying to teach his kid in the midst of all that. Now, isn't that the truth, though? We're trying to impart into our children as much as we can in the midst of the influence that's around our world. And so I want to read a scripture. I'm not going to take very long here, just a few minutes, and kind of close this service because, again, it's wonderful to be here in the presence of God. And I want to talk about God our Father. How many know God our Father is perfect? And we talked about fatherhood, but obviously, as you heard up here today, the imperfections, I mean, all of us are human, and we're going to have imperfections, even as Christians. And maybe you grew up in a home without a father, or you grew up in a home where a father was not a great father to you. And so many times we get this image that that's how God the Father is. But God the Father is completely different. And so in Isaiah chapter 64, verse number 8, it does tell us who God is. It says, "The Lord, you are our Father," it says. "We are the clay, you are the potter, and we are the work of your hand. You are our Father." So let's just pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God. I thank you, Lord, for this interview today and the men that were up here today being honest, Lord, about fatherhood. And I just pray today, God, that you'll minister to everyone that's sitting in this building today. Let the word of God be real to them. And Father, I pray, speak to every heart today. I pray for your anointing that I declare your word in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. You know, one of the things that Jesus said when he taught us how to pray is he made this statement in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. He goes, "This is how you ought to pray in this manner. Therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And so Jesus, in the Word of God, teaches us to address the Lord as our Father. He's supposed to be a Father in our lives. And the actual language or the actual, when you begin to read about what the Father means, it's really the term is Abba, Father. It's an Aramaic term, which means Papa or Daddy. And so some of you, you've heard that before. If you're a father, that intimate term of Abba, Father, or Papa. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 8:15, "The spirit you've received does not make you slave so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption into sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father." Abba, Father is what Paul is talking about. It's a term of endearment. It's saying, you're our Father. You're the one that we can depend on. They did a study, and they found that one of the first words that a baby says is not actually mama, it's actually dada or papa. That's right. In every culture of the world, they found somehow that babies say that. That's one of the first words that they say. And there was a father that was training his kids growing up. He says, who's the greatest of them all? And they would say, dada. You know, he used to love it. He goes, but they got to a certain age when he came into the room. He goes, who's the greatest of them all? And they go, mama. And so that, you guys know what I'm talking about. It just somehow, somewhere along the line, it switches. And the greatest of them all is mama, you know. And you always hear when they interview the football players, you know, hi, mom. How come the guy doesn't say hi, dad? He always says, hi, mom. You know, who do you want to say hi to? To my mom. It's like, come on, man. Anyway, that's just the way it works. But when you look at even the Old Testament of the Word of God, the word father is only used 7 times. And most of us, when you begin to read the Old Testament, you'll look at the Old Testament and really you see God as the creator. You see him as almighty. And it's rightly so. He is almighty. He is the creator. But Jesus really changes everything when he comes on the scene, because he tells us to call God our Father. In fact, 150 times Jesus uses the expression of God as his Father. He's teaching us that, yes, he is your creator, that, yes, he is almighty, but he's not some God so far away that you can't talk to him. He's not a God so far away that he doesn't care about you. But in fact, he's a loving father that cares everything about you. He cares. You can talk to him. He cares about what happens in your life. He cares what's happening in your life today. And so what happens is many times we don't look at God that way because we have a stereotype mentality of the father in our own mind. In other words, if you grew up with a father that maybe had a lot of imperfections, and maybe your father always argued, or he was abusive with his words, or you were brought up with a father that was always negative and always had something negative to say to you, what happens is we begin to think that God the Father is the same way. It's not the same. God the Father is perfect. Can you say amen? And the truth is, you know, the human fathers, you know, all of us know, can be moody, can be controlling, can have a lot of baggage regarding, you know, maybe how they grew up. And so we begin to have a difficulty connecting with God the Father because of our human father. And really, God wants us to realize, all of us here that are here today, that he does love you, that he does care about you, that we need to get rid of the misconceptions of who God is. He is a loving father. And I'm not going to get into the story too much because I don't have enough time. But the greatest illustration is found in Luke chapter 15 of that of a loving father. And most of us know that chapter as the chapter of the prodigal son. And we look at it and say, well, that's the story of a lost son who leaves his father. And I'm not going to get into the whole story, but the Bible says that he basically wants his inheritance right now. And there's two brothers. The youngest brother comes to the father and says, can you give me my inheritance right now? I want to leave right now. And he comes to his father, and his father gives it to him. His father was not obligated to do that. His father didn't have to give it to him. He hadn't died yet. But yet the scripture tells us that the father releases that young man and gives him what he wants. And many people look at that story and say, well, that's the story of two sons. But really, that story, or that's the story of one lost son, really it's a story of a loving father. Because as you know, as you begin to read the story, you'll know that young son, he goes out and he spends everything. He spends his inheritance. He wastes the money on prostitution and drunkenness. You read the scripture, that's exactly what it says. And the Bible says he's left penniless, and he's feeding pigs on a farm. And he finally realizes, you know what? What am I doing here? I need to go back to my father's house. He goes, you know what? I'm going to go back to my father's house, and basically I'm going to tell him, you know what? I'll just be one of your hired servants. You know what? I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I'm no longer worthy to be part of the family. And if you know the story, the Bible says that heavenly father, or that father, is a picture of a heavenly father, because the scripture says that he's waiting for his son. And he sees his son from afar off. And the scripture says he runs to him. See, God the Father runs to you. Can you say amen? There's a song, When God Ran. I just love that song, because God is running to us with loving arms and compassion. And the Bible says that he throws his arms around him. And basically, he says, put a robe on my son. And the son is saying, God, he's saying, Father, I'm no longer to be, you know, I'm not worthy to be called your son. But he says, no, son, put a robe on him. Put a ring on his finger. Put sandals on his feet. He said, you know what? Kill the fattest calf. They weren't vegetarians, as you can tell. They killed the fattest calf. We're going to eat carne asada today in Menudo. We're going to do it up today. And the Bible says, my son was dead, but now he's alive. He was lost, but now he's been found. God celebrates you. Are you listening to me? God the Father loves you. He's waiting for you. He doesn't force himself on you. He wants to love you. He wants you to know that you belong to him. And really, your place is in the Father's house, in the Father's arm. And that's really a picture of the Father today. God the Father is so perfect in so many ways. We may have grown up with imperfect fathers. You may have grown up without a father. But I want you to know there's a Father in heaven that's perfect, and he loves you today. Praise the Lord. You know, I just want to pray. Why don't we just bow our heads for just a moment?
Hey, thanks for listening to this week's message from Praise Chapel Paramount. If you want to stay connected, follow us online with Facebook and Instagram at PC Paramount, or visit our website at praisechapelparamount.com.